Here's a song about a tree in the Guilford Forest. It's a tree that's used as a marker, or was historically used as a marker on the Underground Railroad. And it reminds me that environmental concerns and social justice concerns are always very much intertwined.
There's a red Whoa, 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 whoa. Sunday morning to you. It's great to see everybody this Sunday. As you already seen, Stephanie brought gathered back to join us. And as you probably are figuring out after you've already heard three songs before we get started, there's going to be lots of good music for us all to enjoy today. A little extra music in the service today. We are going to be talking about environmental care, which is sometimes a difficult topic to actually talk about. We don't talk about it enough in churches. We're going to be doing that a little more this year to make sure that we don't fall prey to that here at Presbyterian Church of the Covenant. We are glad that you have joined us. A quick little reminder that we have an offering basket on the back table. We're not going to pass that around. But if you have a moment, please find that on your way out. We appreciate each of you being here online. We appreciate you as well. Underneath, you'll see our web address, athinkingchurch.org. You can go there and you can find out a lot more about us. We encourage you to do so. A couple of quick little personal notes, or a personal note. We have a brand new pup at our house. It's sort of a misnomer to call her a pup. She's 60 pounds and 2 years old. And our other pup, who's 45 pounds, they're thrilled to be together. And that makes us very tired. Very tired. So I'm going to try to stay nice and bright today. And also know that after the service, I'm going to probably get home as quickly as possible to help my poor wife out, managing the two together and helping them acclimate, because we've only been with us a full day. At the end of the service, during our announcements, I'm going to, instead of us having our meeting afterwards, there's only a quick little update on the revisioning committee. So I'm just going to let you know what that is during our announcement period, just so you know that we will be an update, but it's just such a small one. There's no reason to have a full meeting afterwards. And we also, and the last thing that we do, we'll be having two new members join the church. So look forward to that at the end. And be sure, if you're able to exit through this door, to exit that way so you can welcome them into the church. With that said, I'm going to turn it back over to Seth again.
Visits American City, you will find it very pretty. Just two things that you would be aware: don't drink the water and don't breathe the air. Pollution, prostitution, they got smog and sewage and mud. Turn on your tap to get hot and cold running currents. See the halibuts and the sturgeons being wiped out by detergents. Fish gotta swim and birds gotta fly. But they don't last long if they try. Pollution, pollution. You can use the latest toothpaste and then rinse your mouth with industrial waste. Just go out for a breath of air and you'll be ready for Medicare. The city streets are really quite a thrill. If the bus don't get you, the monoxide will. Pollution, pollution. Wear a gas mask and a veil. Then you can breathe long. As you don't inhale. Lots of things here, but you can drink. But stay away from the kitchen sink. Throw out your breakfast garbage, and I've got a hunch the folks downstream will drink it for lunch. So go out to the city, see the crazy people there, like lads to the slaughter. They're drinking our water and breathing up the air. They were gathering and their hands reach for the golden ring. With their hearts they turn to each other's hearts for refuge. In the troubled years that they before the deluge, some of them need pleasure, some of them need pain, and for some of them it was only a moment that mattered. And on the great and crazy wings of youth, they went flying around in the rain, and their feathers once so fine grew torn and tattered. And in the end, they traded their tired wings for the resignation of living grace, and exchanged love, bright and fragile, for the glitter and the rouge. And in the moment they were swept before the deluge, let the music keep our spirits high. Let the buildings keep our children dry. Let creation reveal its secrets by and by. By and by. When the light that's lost within us reaches the sky, some of them were angry at the way the earth was abused by the men who learned how to forge a beauty into power. And they struggled to protect her from them, only to be confused by the magnitude of her fury in the final hour. But when the sun was gone and the time arrived, did the naked daughter refuse to fight? And in attempts to understand a fate so simple and so huge, believe that they were meant to live after the deluge. Let the music keep our spirits high. Let the buildings keep our children dry. Let creation reveal its secrets by and by. When the light that's lost within us reaches the sky,
two readings for us this morning. The first one you're probably going to be familiar with. It's part of the ending of the first creation story in Genesis. So we're going to hear that first. It comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 25, and I'm reading from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version. Hear now these words. And God had said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on earth. and there was evening, and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the living earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And so it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Maybe add blessing and meaning to the reading of these words. I also want to read a short excerpt from Greta Thunberg's speech at the World Economic Forum in 2019. Here's what she has to say. We must change almost everything about in our current societies. The bigger your carbon footprint, the bigger your moral duty. The bigger your platform, the bigger your responsibility. Adults keep saying, we owe it to the young people to give them hope. But I don't want your hope, she says. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear that I feel every day. And then, I want you to act. I want you to act as you would in a crisis. I want you to act as if our house is burning down. Because it is.
Thank you.
going on around you.
This morning is entitled Climate Crisis Planning. The Earth is more than 4.5 billion years old. Humans have been a part of it for about 6 million years, but we've only been living in settlements together for about 10,000 years. And as you might imagine, it was only well after humans started settlements that we started damaging the earth in any significant way. Now, it's also interesting to note that no other creature that has ever existed has come close, anywhere close, to doing the damage to the environment that humans have done. So, 4.5 billion years of life on planet Earth, and in less than 0.0002% of that time, that is less than 0.0001%, okay? In less than 0.002% of that time, humanity has massively put life of much of creation at great risk. And now, there's 8 billion of us. As David Attenborough tells in the documentary, or says in the documentary, Our Planet, in the space of just one human lifetime, for the first time in human history, the stability of nature can no longer be taken for granted. And in our unbelievably brief appearance on the planet, we have managed to deeply disturb the balance that is so essential to life on the planet. From from more destructive storms and forest fires which destroy lives and wildlife to expanding deserts that decrease the amounts of space that we can grow food to warming and acidic oceans where marine life is struggling to climbing temperatures that are killing off 1,000 times more species than any other time in recorded human history, to climate-related displacements which impact the life and health of millions upon millions of people a year. We are watching God's green earth come apart at the seams. You know, most of you who have had any kind of theological discussion with me would know that there's really not much in this world that I would call a miracle, but the world itself definitely is. Its existence and ability to support and sustain life that it has is actually almost improbable. How dare humanity continue on so indifferently as we are destroying a miracle? For me, it begs the question. For those of us who consider ourselves Christians, it begs the question of what is a Christian's response to the reality of climate change? Let's start at the beginning. Genesis, the creation story. We're going to start with the second one. One of the most important words, though, that I had just said is story. This isn't, those creation stories aren't transcriptions or even second-hand recordings of how the world and everything came into being. From its inscription, this was meant to be a prophetic tale about God, humanity, and all of creation and their relationship to each other. Now, historically, that's exactly how ancient rabbis approached their sacred text. And so should we. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, we are given a direct understanding of what our relationship with creation is called to be like. We are told that humanity's role and position in creation is to be caregivers for it. Now, some translations simply say humanity is to keep it being creation, which does actually sort of leave us up to all sorts of interpretations, including that of dominists who believe that they should have domination over nature and the planet, and that they have biblical permission, or even for some of them, biblical directive, to subdue the planet. Here's the thing, the Hebrew word that so frequently gets translated as keep it, is the Hebrew word shamar. And what it does have, it's true, it does have the meaning of keeping, something it typically means in a very, but it means that keeping, it means it in a very particular way. Specifically, it means it this way. To look over, to protect, and even to preserve. So one of our earliest indications in the Bible of who we are to be in relationship to Mother Earth is her caregiver. We are to look over her, protect her, and preserve her. It's a biblical direction, y'all. We are called to be in a right and protective relationship of this miracle that we live in. Those who believe God has given us dominion over the earth believe that we can do with it what we want, even at the expense of our caring for it, even at the expense of ourselves, or at the expense of future generations. They actually believe it shows a complete lack of faith or trust in God to not understand that God will take care of creation that, as they would say, He created. But as I've already demonstrated, to get to that argument, they have to oversimplify verses that tell us quite different things. Honestly, folks need to stop talking about how they're being biblical if they aren't going to take it seriously enough to stop oversimplifying it. I also happen to believe that if God were going to do something about it, and I see no biblical indication that that was ever the plan, I have to say that based on the number of climate change-related deaths alone, God would have already done something about it. It's time. It's time to stop relying on that lazy argument that God will do something about it in the future when there's no biblical or current indication that that was ever the plan. It's time that we take the actual biblical plan a little more seriously and take up the biblical call of being Mother Earth's caregivers. A big part of that is to begin reversing the effects of climate change and to reduce the causes of climate change. Because as David Attenborough also tells us in that documentary, Our Planet, with our help, the planet can recover. Never has it been more important to understand how the natural world works and how to help it. So how do Christians go about being better caregivers for creation? There's many ways. One way is listed in progressivechristianity.org's core values of progressive Christianity. Number four on that list of five core values is embrace the insights of contemporary science and strive to protect the earth and ensure its integrity and sustainability. Too frequently, Christianity, as well as other religions, see science as a threat. That is in part because modern science has forced us to re-engage and reconsider parts of our sacred texts. Seeing that as a threat actually undervalues the depth and the complexity of the actual text. It also frequently points to a misguided understanding that the Bible itself was meant to be seen in some part as a science book. Let me say this clearly as possible. The Bible is not a science book, nor was it ever intended to be. What's more, God calls us to wisdom. Biblically, we are called to rational thinking and logical pursuits. This is made ever so clear in the book of Proverbs as wisdom stands on the crossroads, calling out to each of us. Yet the modern church questions and distorts the findings of modern science. We have to look no further than many churches' response to COVID-19 to understand the facts. Still, the reality is, we are called to value the pursuit of truth. Yet we have slowly slipped into a state of being where what we want to be true, whether it is a political stance, a religious profession, or a scientific point of view, is more likely to be believed in most churches than the actual facts. Let us not forget that wisdom is standing at the crossroads calling to us. Let us never forget that we are also told that wisdom is that in which God daily delights, and when we practice it, God delights in us daily as well. And I will add, even if the Bible had been intended to be a science book, like I said, it wasn't, it would now be a couple of millennia out of date, not to mention the fact that it was written in a pre-scientific age, so many of the passages, that's what they seem to be about in terms of science, are really not much more than brush strokes in the writer's tale that they were trying to tell. It is time for Christians to embrace the wisdom of science, and particularly the science that tells us how to be better at living into our call to be caregivers of the earth. We should also recognize that the impact of climate change falls more squarely and devastatingly on the shoulders of those who already have so little. They should be yet another call to arms for those who wish to follow the teachings of Jesus. As my friend, a Christian author and United Methodist Church minister Roger Woolsey put it in a blog post last year, as Jesus put it, what we fail to do to the least of them, we fail to do to him. That's Matthew 25:45. We're failing, he says, to love God by failing to reduce the spew of global warming gases, by engaging in such polluting of the atmosphere and aggravating global warming. We're also, quote, causing the little children on the planet to stumble and not be able to thrive as God intends to for them to do, as stated in Matthew 18:6. He says, Jesus may not have called for us to care about having long lifespans, but he did call us to live faithfully. And living faithfully in 2023, when he wrote the article, and this is still true in 2024, living faithfully means not just giving lip service to creation care. It means more than just switching to LED light bulbs. It means listening to great prophets such as Greta Thunberg and getting all hands on deck to shut down as many coal and natural burning power plants as quickly as possible and replace them with as many solar, wind, hydro, and even nuclear power plants as quickly as possible. It means reducing our consumption of red meat. It means reducing our driving and switching over to electric vehicles. It means shifting away from global consumerism and adopting a more regional economy. It means these things and much more. I would add, it means it can be done. We just have to have the will to do so, which means, in large part, challenging the capitalistic, consumeristic-based systems that we live in. And I promise you, in the upcoming months, we will be considering that during our time together as well. There are those who will tell you that we must do better because there is no plan B. But I am here to tell you, we are plan B. Plan B is all of us who care about the planet and the generations to come more than we care about some corporation's bottom line. Plan B is those who are more than willing to make sacrifices in order to ensure the health of the planet. Plan B is folks who are willing to educate others and to do the difficult, and I do mean difficult, work of rebuilding systems that currently abuse Mother Earth. Plan B is us. Honestly, folks, as Christians, caring for creation should be a central and core piece of our corporate and personal identity. Understanding that and talking about it is good, but it's incomplete. Until those words are backed up by our actions, both personal and political actions, they are but a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal full of sound and fury signifying little. Let us live into the reality of our call to care for creation and to care for each other. The simple matter of the fact is, we cannot love our neighbor if we do not demonstrate our love for the earth on which they live through being active advocates and voters for creation care and for those who support it. Our call could not be clearer. Let us live into it. Let us not only do the work we are already committed to, but let us commit to live more boldly into this call, that we might play a part in creating heaven on earth here. After all, there's 8 billion of us counting. Thank you.
swept through the valley, swept past the willow and the sandy bar. Ran so swift, locked in my memory, but the way things were is not the way things are. I used to swim in the crook of his arm in the summer heat. Who could be blamed? Avoided the rapids as best as I could. Never thought that that stream could be tamed. Riverside valleys traded coolies for towers of steel. Abandoned the vistas and valleys of childhood for the things that they told me were real. No more would I run with the speed of a colt, cross the gravel down by water's side. To race with a twig I threw in at the bend. Couldn't beat it though, God knows I tried. Now that river's not running as fast as it did, there's a damn new script in the flow. And I don't run either as fast as I could. Guess that river and I have grown old. Strange and returning to places of youth, it seems your memory has made a mistake. For the place that once scared you with white water running has been turned by decree to a lake. Makes me think about how to lie smooth that the wrinkles made the waters as calm as you please. Makes me think about how that river and I were both happier when we ran free. Now that river's not running as fast as it did, there's a damn there strip in the flow. And I don't run either as fast as I could, guess that river and I have grown old. Yes, that river and I grown their claim. How else do we convert? But endure the things that hurt. Let the fire burn your eyes. Offerings by Cain and Abel, with the Janus gate enables, hiding in disguise. Mobius strip of laughter and tears, pain and pleasure, fame and fear. The antidote is in the venom. How else do we convert? But endure the things that hurt. Let the fire burn your eyes. And all those who hear your cries, when that fire burns your eyes, see the same without shame.
Someone else today. It's entitled "The Garden is Rich." It's from the Chinook Psalter, which was from the Anglican Book of Common Prayer, which was then translated in the 19th century into the indigenous trade language of the Pacific Northwest, and then it was retranslated into English. I receive now this prayer. The garden is rich with diversity, with plants of 100 families. In the space between the trees, with all the colors and fragrances, basil, mint, and lavender, great mystery, keep my remembrance pure. Raspberry, apple, rose, great mystery, fill my heart with love. Dill, aniseed, tansy, holy winds blow in me. Rhododendron, zinnia, may my prayer be beautiful. May my remembrance, O great mystery, be as incense to thee in the sacred grove of eternity, as I smell and remember the ancient forests of earth. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, knowing that we are one. May you know love and happiness throughout your life. May your words and actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.
Preparing a little song by Miley Cyrus, the philosopher. Here we go. Take care of her. Baby, spare her. Several moments of your consideration leading up to the final destination. Birthday's falling out. I wanna learn what it's all about. But everything I read over more is concrete. I don't know what all this means, but it seems to be a saying. Wake up, America.
Come on.